Hey everyone, welcome back to the Rock Church Podcast. My name is Shane Beeson and you are listening to the Rock Church in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. And we're glad that you're with us. Let me introduce you to who is here at the table today.
Jacob Krotzenberg.
Heather Blackstone.
Maria Bilby.
Ladies, we're glad that you're in here because you heavily represent our next gen. And so I'm excited to talk about what Kids Rock and youth have been bringing up in this series. And Jacob's involved in that as well. And so I think
I'm not a lady.
You're not a lady, but you are part of Next Gen. And so we'll bring that in today. But if you're jumping on with us for the first time today, welcome. We are in a series we just titled Doctrine. And we're doing 4 weeks of kind of hot topics, or for some are controversial topics, and kind of letting our church family in on a little bit more of the doctrine around that and where we stand as a church. And so I encourage you to go back the last couple weeks. This week, we're talking about speaking in tongues. So last week, we talked about baptism with the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes, a sign that that has happened is followed by the gift of tongues. And so we do believe that is still alive and active today. And actually, we don't even have to believe it because I have a prayer language. Others have prayer languages. It's happening in our church. It's been happening for thousands of years. It's never stopped. So, but people are concerned with it. Some people are afraid of it. There's been good experiences and bad experiences. And so we kind of wanted to bring some clarity, even with Paul's writing in the Corinthians, because he's really writing for a specific group at a specific time in a specific place that had a very specific background, and they needed coaching and correction on this. And so we're going to get into it today. If you haven't listened to the message, we apologize, but we lost our live stream on Sunday, so there is no recording of it, unfortunately. So you're jumping into it cold, but we're going to dig into it a little bit. I want to go around the table. Jacob, we'll start with you, but what is something that stood out to you about Sunday? And that could be Sunday morning service or the evening youth service as well, because we brought a similar message. We'll go around the table and just what stood out and what it's been resonating in you from that.
The common thread that I really appreciated between your message in the morning and Mike's message to the youth in the evening was like, stop making such a big freaking deal about it. Mm-hmm. Like on both sides. I mean, you have the people who want to attack us, and we've got hate mail about it. It's great. We love it. And then there's also people who, like we were talking about before this, that go way too heavy into it and want to make a spectacle of themselves. And like they use a personal prayer language in a public setting, not for the edification of the body, but for the edification of themselves, which is just arrogance. So like there is extremes on either side that can be harmful to yourself, harmful to the body. But in the middle, there's like this sweet spot of where you have this special gift from the Lord that you can use to speak to Him. And there's like this prophetic aspect to it too, where the Lord sometimes gives you a word in tongues for the body. And we've seen the evidence that there are interpretations in those. And it's really cool when we have those opportunities for people to express their gifts, because then sometimes other gifts like interpretation come out.
Yeah.
So I really love that. And then just like the scriptural aspects of talking about like, people need to not get so worked up about it, because it is an evidence. It is a gift. And what's more, what did Paul say is even more important than the gifts of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
Like, what is the evidence that Christ is actually working in your life? Yes, the gifts are powerful, but the fruit is so, so important. So it's speaking in tongues is amazing. It's an evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's an evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It is intimate between you and God, and also it's just one of the things. So we need to not get so worked up about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I do love that you brought up the extremes because I see that in humanity a lot. And oftentimes the answer is in the middle, but people are too afraid to stand in the tension between two things. And so it's interesting with speaking in tongues because, yeah, you have the cessationists that are like, all the gifts have died. And then you have the ultra charismatic that almost can weaponize the gift.
Right.
And the reality in this situation is it's in the middle. It should be, this is where a part of the four square doctrine is moderation, and it's about being balanced and healthy and both operating the gifts, but the gifts tempered with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. People like to leave out like all of those really, but all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit should be tempered and be partnered with the fruit of the Spirit all the time. So thanks for bringing that up. That's a great aspect of it. And yeah, I'm curious, Heather, we'll go over to you. What, give us a little highlight from Sunday. What's resonating with you this week?
Yeah, the what kind of resonated with me on Sunday was the importance of like the intimacy of speaking in tongues and how that the gift of that is like it's a heavenly language between you and God. Mm-hmm. And though you might not fully understand, like, I don't know, there's so much power in that. Like when you can pray in that, just how like Jesus is interceding through us with those mm-hmm. words, you know, sometimes we don't have the words for prayer, or we don't know what we're praying about, or we just don't know how to pray for it. Like using that heavenly language, and God hears it. He knows, you know, it's just, there's something really special because it takes the humanity out of it. Yeah. Like it's something mm-hmm. that it's not of us, it's mm-hmm. of God. So I thought that was really, really special and something to really lean into.
Yeah, it's interesting because when you pray in your prayer language, you are interceding in a way that is Holy Spirit empowered. So you're essentially, this is a poor way to describe it, but you're saying the right things to God mm-hmm. based on his empowerment through you. So you're praying the right things. So you have this really unique intercession with Jesus, partnering him with him, like you're saying. And you're not getting in your own way. And so I just to what you're saying, I often find myself when I pray for our church family or praying over our prayer cards when people write in prayer requests, there's a lot of times you don't know really what to pray. And so just on a practical level, I'll pray for what they're asking for in English, and then I'll spend time praying in the Holy Spirit in that gift over them. And then sometimes God will give me more English words to pray. It's like you get a word of knowledge into how to pray for that prayer request. And there's this beautiful dance between in that intercession time between the Lord and you and what he's inviting you in how to pray for that person. And it's really beautiful and empowering. And you know and trust that, okay, I'm partnering with what Jesus is interceding for them for this prayer request by praying for them in my prayer language. And so that's really cool as well. I'm curious, actually, you know, we've had a gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues pretty frequently on Sundays, and we have our Kids Rock kids in there. And I know there's been a lot of discussion. Mm-hmm. Give us some insight as to what are the youth talking about? What, because I know they have some amazing questions, and I hear that some of them are also kind of awakening to the fact that they might have the gift of interpretation yeah. as well. So tell us about that.
Yeah, it's been pretty incredible ever since the students have been in the sanctuary for worship. They're getting to experience that corporate worship and are being exposed to speaking in tongues and in different interpretations. And so it's like Shane said, it sparked really, really fun conversation with the kids. A lot of them, you know, at first, like, had never heard that before. Like, they did not understand what was going on. So we had to, we had the conversation of, you know, what speaking in tongues is. You know, it's a heavenly language. Like, it's not, obviously, it's not English. And then as we've been having these conversations, some of the kids have come forward and said, well, I hear English, which is so cool because, like, they're experiencing the gift of interpretation and leaning into that and guiding them in a way, like, you know, because it's not consistent every single Sunday with that, you know, with that gift exposing itself. So just kind of leaning in, and when they do hear, like, you know, making sure that they're communicating that, because, you know, some, they don't know at first, they didn't know at first, and then didn't know when to speak out, you know, is this something that they should share? So then just kind of teaching them through that process. So it's been really, really fun. The kids have, like, the best questions, and they think about stuff on a fully different level than we do.
Yeah.
It's just unhinged. It's
makes
awesome.
Me think about Jesus talking about childlike faith, mm-hmm. and how the simple but powerful trust that childlike faith can produce, it's like naturally supernatural. They just experience it and they just do the thing, mm-hmm. right? Or they just are engaged with whatever is going on. And I've been so encouraged by hearing stories through you and your team in that, and them learning at a young age, because it is something that we don't talk about enough. So most of them grow up not understanding, or even now at the age they're at, never experiencing or hearing the gift of tongues in action and the gifts in general. And so it's opening a whole new thing for them. And it's beautiful how their simple childlike faith, they're engaging in a way that adults just really have a hard time, because we over glorify our intellect and our logic, and we're like, well, we get all in our heads about things. I would say, like, what's beautiful about the gift of tongues is it is a gift that is a humbling gift. And you can't truly operate, or even I would dare to say receive, without humility, number one. And then it sounds foolish in a way that people that aren't humble don't even want it. They're offended by it because it sounds like jibber jabber or whatever, you know? And I think that's one of the reasons most people have such an issue with it, is because it doesn't make sense to them. They think it's out of control, when not realizing, no, you have control over the gift, but yes, you also have to be humble, because you're going to sound foolish. Mm-hmm. And so you can't have the fear of man, or you can't, like, it takes a unique head and heart space to receive and operate in that gift. And, you know, I'll give a good example is we have a woman in our church, for those listening, some of you will know who she is, but she has received a unique expression of this gift, where she's been getting words in tongues for the entire congregation, and the Holy Spirit has been coming on her in power, which you can clearly tell by the tone of her voice, the posture of her body, and all that sort of stuff. It's not her just producing something. But and then you look at it, and you have to say, like, you have to be a humble vessel to be that in public, because it's not a, I can't even think of the right words, but nobody's going to want to just say, like, that looks really great. I'm just going to get up there and speak in a language I don't know and be overcome by power. And, you know, oftentimes she's crying because it's so powerful and it seems painful almost, but it's not. You ask her and it's like, it's the best thing ever, but it looks incredibly, it sounds sad. It looks painful because she's interceding. She's crying out on behalf of the church. So you just look at that and you go, you can't do that without humility, because it looks, from the outsider looking in, it looks ridiculous, mm-hmm. you know, or it looks uncomfortable, or it looks, it just, you can think of those things. But yeah, I just think it's funny, and I'm wondering, you know, there's a lot of people that have all different kind of experiences. Maybe let's go into that, Heather. I know you have some experiences, since you're already talking about this, that are not good. And I know a lot of people, one of the reasons why they shy away from this gift, or even a church that operates in the gift, is bad experiences. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So, well, I grew up in a Lutheran church, and so there wasn't a whole lot of speaking in tongues going on at all through my childhood. But then when I was like a young adult and kind of shopping churches, my now husband and I went to a Pentecostal church just around the corner from where I lived, and we're checking it out. And they had a special speaker that day. And it was a really bad experience. So his like goal was to have somebody be baptized in the Spirit and speaking in tongues. Like that was, he wasn't going to let anybody leave the church or anything until that happened. And unfortunately, I was the guinea pig.
Oh, no.
And
oh.
They brought me to the front of the church, and the entire congregation surrounded me, and they were touching me and, like, you know, like putting their hands on me and praying hard over me and, like, almost pushing me.
Yeah, we're going to force this to happen right
now.
Yeah,
and it was very aggressive, and, like, they were yelling at me and, like... Oh, it was just awful. And it felt like it took forever for them to just give up, you know, like they wouldn't. And there was no way, like this, I was terrified. Like
right.
I was fully crying. Like yeah. I was really scared. And I just remember at one point I looked through the people and I could see my now husband, he was chatting it up with the youth pastor in the back, just having a great old time. Like, oh yeah, she's getting
help
rocked
me.
Up there. And I
yeah.
was just like,
help me.
Please let me leave. And, they wouldn't let me get out of that circle until I said something. And honest to God, this is, the one thing that came to my head was I should have bought a Honda when I bought a Ford. And so like, I just kept repeating that quietly.
No.
And I think they like took that as like, she's, okay, we got her.
Oh,
and
no.
I like, as soon as I got the window to get out, I booked it out of there and we never went back. But that was
really?
Like.
Really? You never went
yeah,
back?
Yeah,
I can't
surprising,
believe it.
Wonderful.
Right?
I don't know why you wouldn't want to.
Oh, man.
No amount of cookies or coffee could have got me back in there.
Yeah.
But I was just like.
Yeah, that's terrible.
This is not the church for us. So we kept going. But ever since then, like when I would see. A call to worship, to pray for tongues. Like that's what plays in my mind, and I know that's
trauma. You've been traumatized. Yeah.
And so, as I've grown now in my faith more and learned more about what speaking in tongues is and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I know that that was not it. And like, working towards seeking that out. Mm-hmm. And in a healthy way, it's been a goal of mine. So, and I'm continuing in that. I'm continuing to learn about it, to seek it out. That's been my experience. It wasn't great, but there's redemption in it. So
yeah.
I look forward to that.
I'm sorry that was your experience. That's horrible. And there's nothing about that that's biblical. And what you just said, I immediately go to the fruit of the Spirit, mm-hmm. and I don't see that in your story at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like there was an agenda. Mm-hmm. And I would say this way, the special guest speaker, their self-value was in producing something spiritual or to go around and say, hey, this is happening. And there's a lot of false teachers out there that do stuff like that. And then they're like, well, I had X amount of baptism with the Holy Spirit or whatever mm-hmm. happening all around. And I think, and I would wager to say that a lot of the people that have had bad experiences with this have had experiences like that.
Mm-hmm.
If that's you and you're listening, number one, I pray that you would find healing in this because it's something that God does want for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it is something that you should, like you need to want to have. Like God isn't going to give you gifts you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And the gifts are to be sought out and humbly, and they are beautiful and powerful. And you can have people pray with you for that and partner with you in prayer and even fast with you and continue to pray with you. And I'll jump into this for a second because I've seen many times people want to seek the baptism with the Holy Spirit and or speaking in tongues. And a lot of people expect it to all happen right away, right now. We live in a very microwave culture. Mm-hmm. And there is way more evidence over the last few thousand years and through various revivals that, number one, people have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with nobody praying for them, them just seeking him, mm-hmm. right. desperately mm-hmm. seeking him, and then receiving the gift of tongues by just seeking him. Yes, we have scriptural examples of people laying hands on people and receiving that gift, but that's there's nowhere in scripture that that's the only way to do it. Again, it's something you want to learn about. It's something you want to seek. You need to desire it and seek the Lord for it and ask the Lord for it. Because people, goes back to your story is we can't just run around forcing things on people. That's absolutely not even biblical. It's against free will. God doesn't even just go around and force things on people. That's even though he has the power to do that, he does not do that. And neither should we. So as leaders in a church, we shouldn't be walking around being like, yeah, we're doing this right now and you're not going to leave until it happens. That's not even, it won't happen. I guarantee you. And then people will be in the same boat where they're going to have to fake something, mm-hmm. To get you to let up, which is, that's just abuse. That's like spiritual abuse straight up. For those that are listening, I'll give you an example of how we do this. And like, so the last couple Sundays, Pastor Michael and I have been over to a site and praying for people that want to experience this. And it's really simple. We actually ask them to ask Jesus to baptize them. Number one, because Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, not us. And then them to ask for the gift. And then we pray, we do lay hands on them, anoint them with oil, and just pray with them. And oftentimes we pray with them for X amount of minutes, however that long that may be, until we feel like it's time for us to move on, and then ask them to continue to seek. And because the act of seeking this out is like presenting ourselves before the Lord and as a living sacrifice, as a vessel, and saying, Lord, I desire this and I'm spending this time to seek it. And I'll give you a good example. We had people that received the gift of tongues on Sunday, and we had people that didn't. And going into that is I've heard all kinds of stories. Like I have a friend that after praying, this was days later, had a dream that they were speaking in tongues in their dream, and then they woke up in the middle of the night out of their dream speaking in tongues, and they received their gift that way. I have another friend who, walking through the King Supers grocery store, well after praying for the gift or baptism with the Holy Spirit, they received the gift of tongues right there in the grocery store. And it was just like this overwhelming, just beautiful encounter with the Lord. And nobody was really there in the idol aisle. And they're just shopping and they just started praying out. And I have another story where a guy in an airplane, this is actually a story through a really good and close friend of mine, where he was flying on a plane and somebody that he didn't know just was all of a sudden overcome and like speaking in tongues. And he got to go over and like disciple and coach him. And he was like, the guy explained like he had been prayed for and he's riding on a plane. And that's when it happened. And it was this beautiful encounter of my good friend discipling this believer he didn't even know in the gift of tongues when he wasn't even the one who originally prayed for him, you know? So there's all kinds of stories like that don't match anyone's set rules of how this happens. And I would say that God is beautifully dynamic and knows where people are at and knows when people are ready. And I will say this too, and I know people that have received the gift of tongues for a moment and then didn't have the prayer language. And I think that's really unique and special too. And they're like, yeah, God has, in moments of powerful worship services, like come upon me with that gift, but I never got the prayer language. And so I'm just sharing these to go, hey, there's we don't know exactly how this works. We don't need to know how it works. We need to just humbly be before our Lord. And if you're hungry for it, seek it out. But Maria, let's go over to you. And yeah, what stood out to you from Sunday? Maybe tell us also about your experience and we'll just kind of rabbit trail from there.
Yeah, I can touch on my experiences and then kind of what I see through it. Mine goes back to the fruit of the Spirit. I think when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it reveals a lot of those fruits, and you see them in different aspects of your life as after you've been baptized. My experience was at youth camp last year, and it's been a fast forward in my life in the last year from that experience. But I will touch on like some things that Shane and Heather both brought up. I also had kind of a bad experience growing up, actually even farther back into a generational hurt because of the speaking in tongues and church hurt in the past, where it was never explained to me as a child. I don't think it was ever explained even to my mother. And not understanding it and it being scary. Mm-hmm. And what I love so much and what my takeaway is how our kids are asking questions, our youth are asking questions, and they're receiving it and they're getting kind of rocked by, well, I didn't hear her speaking in tongues. I heard her speaking in English. And from my own experience, just seeing that at camp, I didn't get the gift of the tongues because my brain gets in the way. Yeah. It suppresses what should be just come out, but it sits in my throat and I don't know how to like express it. But I did have a moment a couple Sundays ago where I couldn't suppress it anymore. And I think our kids are at that point too, where they've tried to hide it or try to push it down. And they're like, I can't hold on to it anymore. And it is beautiful. And it is a growing relationship in the Spirit. And we're starting to see, and even in our youth, like the fruits of those spirits come out in them and towards each other and towards like their life and what they're doing in their schools. And I just, it's so well explained in our church now that it's not a scary thing. It's not people falling over or people speaking in a prayer language that you've never been explained. It's more of, it's a peace to our kids now, and I get to explain it. I get to explain it to my own children, that it's a beautiful thing and that it's not a forced thing. It does take time. I mean, I received the Holy Spirit at summer camp, and it took till two Sundays ago for me to finally just let it all out.
Yeah.
I still don't think that I have the prayer language, but I'm starting to see things in my life, and it has paved a way where a year ago I wasn't even thinking about youth group, and now I'm full board and I'm ready to dive in, and I crave it. And I think some of our youth are seeing this, craving the same thing. They want to know more about it.
I think it's important to continue building that culture for us to talk about it more. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the issue with the Gen Z and like the older Gen Alpha even is that it's way too hard to be vulnerable. Mm. And speaking in tongues is a very vulnerable thing. Yeah. Like people hear me, like they're going to think I'm crazy. So like the reason why places like camp is so important is because everyone's there for the same purpose. Like it's okay to be vulnerable here. It's okay to seek the Lord here. It's okay to express the gifts of the Lord here. But when I'm out at school or in a youth group where I don't really know everybody, like you feel way too vulnerable to like, it's not as safe to be vulnerable in a place like that.
Exactly.
But when we express it, we're shifting the air, we're shifting the culture to know, like, let them know like, this is a safe place. We can be vulnerable. You can express your gifts here. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing hints of that. So I'm excited for us to keep going forward and like pushing the importance of that.
Yeah. And I would say if you're a critic of this, of the giftings, keep your mouth shut. And ask questions, get curious, yes. Ask people, instead of ridiculing people, ask people about it. Hey, I heard this and I was really uncomfortable with this. Can you tell me what's going on? And so I think one of the issues with critics is they just judge. And I want to say this, especially because we're talking about kids, because adults shut kids down a lot in every aspect of their life. And they need to have an environment where there's a sense of safety and freedom. So there's like healthy boundaries and freedom so they can explore new things like the gifts of the Holy Spirit without adults ridiculing or giving weird faces or looks or...
Or their own peers.
Yeah, their own peers as well. And so... if you're listening and you're a critic, start asking questions. If you don't like it, go to another church. Like, find that place for you that for you is a safe place. Because we want to empower people and we want them to encounter the Holy Spirit. And if they have people around that are crusty and angry and kind of just infect poison, those people are shut down and not empowered that are seeking that. And we're trying to foster that. We are trying to train well and teach well through the process. And I think that's the difficult part, is staying in the tension. So not writing an extreme of, hey, the gifts are dead, or writing the extreme of, let's be absolutely ridiculous and out of control with our gifts. So we don't want either of that. It's in the middle of, we're going to operate in our gifts and we're going to show how to do it well, and we're going to bring accountability because people are going to mess up and nobody's going to do it perfect. And we've already had to do that. And we've been coaching people as we go, and we desire to be that church that can figure it out and do it well, that can experience the presence and the power of God and experience revival, and have it be all tempered by the fruit of the Spirit, and really bringing those two together. And I think it's essential. So my challenge to all of us is, if you only have gifts and no fruit, are you actually operating in truly the gifts? And that's part of what Paul talks about in the Corinthians. I think there's an undertone of like, hey, you can't have just gifts and without fruit. So check this out. You got to have both. And again, 1 Corinthians 13, that whole section on love is not for weddings. It's for spiritual gifts. Yeah, great reading. Read it at weddings. It's a great set of scripture about what love is, but it's really talking about tempering the gifts of the Holy Spirit with love. And it goes on to talk about, Paul talks a lot about the fruit of the Spirit. And so we got to have both. And so I want to go back a little bit to you, Maria, on just your experience, because this goes back to this is a process. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always happen for everybody right away. And again, we live in a microwave culture, and we just kind of, I think sometimes we're hyper-focused on the gifts or even the baptism with the Holy Spirit and then that empowerment. It's like, we want it now. And there is a sanctification, maybe you could say, that happens in the process of seeking that prepares us. And I think a lot of people forget that this isn't on our timing, that these things happen on God's timing. And yes, we play a part in it. Like, we need to seek it and walk the road of figuring it out with Jesus. And in that, there's this beautiful growth in relationship there's with him, and there's beautiful growth in us preparing ourselves, becoming those vessels on a journey to prepare ourselves for gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll talk about with you, because you haven't received the gift of tongues yet, but you are operating other gifts already. Mm-hmm. So it just, again, goes to testify that that's not always the initial evidence of baptism with the Holy Spirit. You've experienced the Holy Spirit, and now for you, things are happening like when you lay hands and pray for people, you're getting essentially words of knowledge and prophetic vision by laying hands on them and giving you insight on how to pray. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole nother like gift set that you're beginning to walk in after receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, well, and I'll touch on just what happened at camp. A lot of people think that you have to cry and be emotional and you have to like break down all of these walls, but it's not that way. Like when I received the Holy Spirit at camp, it was the most joy I've ever felt in my life. I felt like, and throughout this journey, the word has always been joy. It's a feeling of this light and lightness and joy in my life. And when I was done, I literally laughed uncontrollably for hours because it was just a joyful feeling. So it's not always like an emotional experience. It's a joyful experience. And that's where you really see the fruits of what giftings you're getting, because even throughout life, there's hard moments in your life, but like I feel like God just gave me a glimpse of what heaven and joy, what joy really truly feels like. Yeah. It's not just a word; it's actually an incredible feeling. So,
yeah, I love that, and I want to remind those listening, and even us here at the table, is there is a deep connection between crying and laughter, mm-hmm. in that both are representatives of healing from trauma, mm-hmm. and depending on what the Lord is doing inside of you, can be manifested that way. And I love that you got to experience the laughter part. Most of the time encounters for me with the Holy Spirit is crying. Like I'm a crier. Like he comes upon me, like, and it just like, that's just the, what happens for me. And I love, and that's not the only thing that's happened. I've experienced the laughter too. I've actually gone from like totally mm-hmm. crying to all of a sudden that joy and then just laughing and experiencing that. But for those that have watched that happen to people and have not experienced it, it's actually, so it's not just spiritual, it's scientifically physiological too. And a lot of times what people will tell you is they're like, I just feel like I've been healed from decades of trauma. In like 1 hour of this time with the Lord, it healed me from decades of trauma. And I actually watched, I'll just give a quick testimony because I was part of this movement in the Pacific Northwest and revival was going on. And I watched this young lady, probably young adult in her 20s, she actually went down when she was prayed for. So she did go down to the floor. You could tell she was just overwhelmed by the presence of the Lord. And when she went down, she was laying on her back and she started weeping and she cried probably for 30 minutes. And what was interesting for me is the Lord said, I want you to watch this. Like you pray for her, continue to pray for her and just watch what I do. And I was like, wow, okay. So she cried for 30 minutes. All of a sudden she got silent. And then all of a sudden she started laughing and she laughed for like 30 minutes. And like somebody told her the funniest joke ever on the face of the planet. And it was amazing. And then that happened. And then she just like, her eyes were closed and everything. She's laying there. All of a sudden she woke up and she sits up and she looks around like, what,
where
like,
am I?
What happened? And she just stands up and like nobody's with her. Like she's by herself, I guess, in this service. And she just looks around and then she just looks like a new person. And then she just walks out of the room. And I guess she just went on to whatever was happening. But I literally just watched God interact with somebody for an hour and totally transform their life. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. And I just, that's when the Lord began teaching me about this. He was like, she was healed from all her trauma. And I filled all the places of trauma with joy. That's like what he told me about her moment. And I was like, wow, God, that's incredible. And only you could do something like that. There's no amount of self-help that could get her to the place that she was when she stood up and walked out of this place. Like, I'm sure that changed her whole life.
Well, and just the like, you can't hold it in. I want to go back to you saying, like, the critics and stuff is, like, 2 weeks ago, I tried to hold it in, and I was, it was loud, and it was awkward, and finally, God was just like, you need to let it out, and I felt like I was the only person standing in the sanctuary, and I was just ugly crying, and it wasn't a bad cry. It was finally a release that just needed to happen.
Exactly.
And it's a both and. You get the joyful side, and then you also get the tears, and it's okay. It's not a bad thing.
Not at all.
And I've always been told in my life that I'm like a crier or emotional, and for the first time, God's telling me, no, it's okay to cry. It's okay to be emotional. It's okay to be vulnerable with those emotions. So
yeah, absolutely. And I do want people to know that are listening, like, God doesn't, when these things happen, it's not like with the gift of tongues, you have free will and you are partnering with him. You feel the prompting from the Lord, kind of like what you're just talking about, love, like, go ahead, get, like, I'm prompting you to give in. That's what he was asking you, is like, let me in. You get to exercise your free will always. He never, as far as I know, just comes in as like, I'm going to control this and take over and make you do things. That's not what these experiences are. It's this beautiful partnership with the Holy Spirit. And I want people to know that it's not like this scary thing that if you say yes to the Lord, I don't even know what people are afraid of, but like some incredibly crazy, unrelenting thing is going to happen. That's not what happens. Even when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you begin to feel that power or that release or that joy or whatever it is, you actually have the ability to stop it. You can ruin the moment. Absolutely.
Like, your brain gets in the way.
Your brain could get in the way and you can ruin the moment. And it's sad when that happens. And it's happened to me before where I've ruined the moment and I'm like, no, you know, like, I wanted that moment.
And people can do that too. Like, when you're having your own experience with the Lord and people see tears and people are like, oh, I have to go comfort that person. Oh, I have to go talk to that person.
Right.
And then they're all up on you and they're like touching you or like
trying to speak to you. And you're like, dude, let me have my moment.
Yeah.
Get the freak away from me right now. Well, it's just cool that you brought that up, Mario, because that's something we brought up in the podcast last week, is that everyone's experience with the Holy Spirit can be different. And a lot of people, when they do get overwhelmed, they cry. And yeah, sure. But then there's people who laugh. There's people who like all like stand and get dizzy and just like start like looking weird and doing weird stuff. And that doesn't make a whole lot of sense either. Like, oh, someone needs to go help that guy. What's wrong with that person? Why are they laughing so weird? And so like, it reminds me of like, you see all these different experiences and like, you feel like you need to go do something or help them or judge them or send anonymous hate mail to the church or, but it just reminds me of a line from one of my favorite shows, Ted Lasso, which is he says, be curious, not judgmental.
Yeah.
So if any of you are judgmental, first of all, you're not better than any of us. So you can take that judgmental piece right out of there. And if you're not willing to be curious, either stop talking or leave.
Right. Well, and I will say this too. There's a couple practicals, because we don't have the recording of the sermon. I'll just go over a couple practicals with the actual speaking in tongues, because people don't understand it. And unfortunately, we don't have the time to go super into what I went to on Sunday, but there are three different expressions of the gift that we know of biblically. So there's praying in the Spirit, there's speaking in tongues, and then there's singing in the Spirit. It's three different things. And so when you often see the speaking in tongues part, it's referring to these public declarations in a tongue, which Paul talks about in Corinthians as, hey, you should have an interpretation for this so everybody can be edified. Mm-hmm. He's not even saying don't do it in the large group, but he's saying if you do it, seek the interpretation. That's the point, because it's about people getting edified in a large group. It's not saying that you did something bad or evil if you spoke in a tongue empowered by the Holy Spirit in a large group setting. And so I encourage people to study that. Also in Ephesians and Colossians, well, I'll tell you this, in 1 Corinthians 14, 13 through 19, there's a really specific section where it talks about singing in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. Paul even talks about it later in Ephesians 5, verses 18 through 21, and then Colossians 3:16, that when we gather, we should be singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It's a part of the group expression. And so I just want to remind people like to, in my opinion, misquote Paul's writings, and they forget to put the scripture in the proper context, which they have to remember that it's written to a specific people at a specific place at a specific time, and they have a specific context. And I encourage you to get curious, like what Jacob was saying and what we were talking about. And people really do need to study this themselves. And I just want to tell you, if you're not bringing in the Hebrew Jewish culture to your context, you're immediately wrong. If you're not bringing Corinthians culture into your context, you're immediately wrong. So if you listen to American preachers that think they have the corner on this part of the doctrine on gifts of the Holy Spirit, until you deep dive into Middle Eastern culture, Israeli culture, and what's happening in the New Testament believers, you're going to be wrong. So if your whole foundation of doctrine is based off of what you've heard American preachers preach, who, I'll just tell you this, most of them haven't even been to Israel. And so if you're following somebody that hasn't even been to Israel, and they're trying to tell you about an entire book that's written in Israel to Jews, through Jews, so on and so forth, go back to culture, go back to context. You have to know that to properly understand what's happening here. It's hard to, I want to go into so much more. We know this is a hot topic. And if you're curious, if you're in the area and you're not, you want to know more and you're not coming to church, number one, come to church, because then when the live stream fails, you get to see it in action and experience it. And then if you're listening from in different areas that you're not even close to us, I know we have online people that listen and watch from around the world, really. Continue to watch. We only stream one of our services, and sadly, a lot of times the more powerful service is the one that's not streamed. I think God does that on purpose. I think it's funny that when the cameras are on, it's like the Spirit's out, but then when the cameras turn off, the Spirit's like, I'm in, you know? And so there's that to be spoken about too. But let's go around and just, what would you want people to know, team here that's around the table, about this? Like, what would you say to people that are curious or anything like that? Jacob, we'll start with you and we'll just go around the table.
Seek it, ask the Lord for it, be open to it. When you receive it, practice it, and be curious, not judgmental.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Heather, what do you think?
I think one thing when you were talking about speaking in tongues in a public setting and the interpretation being the edification for the church, I want people to know, like, to be bold, because I know there's people that get the interpretation that are scared to death to speak out because of judgment, and just knock that off. Like, silence that inner voice or the inner critic, and just be bold and speak it out, because how else are we going to know what God wants to tell us that day?
And you don't need to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, this is all of these gifts. I will want to say all the gifts of the Holy Spirit is something we grow in, and we're not experts at right away. We're figuring it out with the Lord. And so at least with us, it's okay to try and come out, and we're going to want to support people that are exploring that gift and not chop them down. That's not what we're going to do. And so that's a great aspect. And we do, if you're listening and you're that person in our congregation and you're afraid to come up, don't be. We're going to help you, and come up to the side where Pastor Michael or myself are, and and let us know what's happening and what God is saying to you, and we can help you. So that's a great aspect, Heather.
Even if you're an online listener and you're not anywhere close, put it in the comments. Like, hey, I heard this. Like, we would love to hear what you're hearing.
Yep, that's a great one too. Maria?
I think my biggest thing for everyone is just to experience the fruit of the spirits and not just a word that you're reading, like to actually feel love and patience and kindness and joy. It is a real feeling, and I can attest to that all day long. So I just encourage you, don't just read it, experience it. So seek it out. And I'm the same with Heather. Be bold. I know that there's some students out there that have it, and we encourage you to come forward or ask questions, and we will help guide you in it. So yeah,
that's awesome. All right, to all you listeners out there, may God bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.